Take your hand away from your knife, Mon Thing. This thing in my hand spits lead, savvy?
What does this mean? Why did they move the panther's cage against the door?
My crew just wanted to make us cozy here in my cabin. The cage against the door, ready to be opened, in case the panther wants to join us.
No, no!
You don't like that idea, do you?
No, 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 no.
Because that panther hates your insides, and if I let him in here, he'll tear you to pieces.
Let me out!
Not until you put your signature to this paper.
What do you mean?
You sign your name to this written confession, or your dirty, stinking thumb, you're going to die.
We bring you another in the series of true sea stories based on the life of Captain Gunnar Carlisle, world-famed deep-sea diver and soldier of fortune. Another page from
Out of the Deep.
Friends, the first cruise of the Blue Falcon, Captain Gunnar Carlisle's newly acquired salvage ship, was not only thrilling, but successful, and netted the jubilant captain a tidy sum. He received a generous check from Lloyd's for pulling the Melville Castle off a beach on the southwest coast of Mexico, and 10% of a large fortune in gold from a sunken tanker off Guatemala. But let's go on with his true life story and see what happened when the Blue Falcon reached Santa Monica, California, which was to be her home port. Several hours after she anchored in the bay, the three musketeers, Captain Carlisle, Charlie Barthes, and Sharky Peters, were in the captain's cabin. And believe me, adventure was cooking.
Here, fellas, you can see the spot in this map.
Mm-hmm.
Navarino Bay, see? Southwest of Messenia, Greece.
Right here. Oh, lovely duck. The fleet went down with a mere matter of $50 million in their innards. Mr. Barthes, you've got to ask me.
If I had, I'd use it myself. And you can kiss the book on that. Hey, Skipper, you say salvages have brought up some of the gold?
Yeah, about a quarter of a million of them.
Oh, that's a mere bag of shells compared to 50 million. Oh, I can't say it.
Of course, there are salvagers still taking cracks at it, but...
But so what? Why can't we?
That's right.
That's what you were about to say, wasn't it?
Right. Now, we'll go on with this after settling the matter of paying the crew their wages and bonus. And, of course, straightening matters with you two as well. Sharky, take a look out on deck. See how many of the crew are there, huh?
Righto. It ain't quite 4 o'clock.
Nope. Eight bells coming up in a few minutes.
Mm-hmm. How about it?
Well, six of the eight men are waiting. The cook, Low Wing, Andrews, Larson, Erickson, Gifford, and Snowy White.
Okay. I'll ask you to pass out the envelopes, Charlie, and then I'll talk to him. Are you satisfied with them? Do you want to keep them on if we go to the Mediterranean?
They're all good men, Gunnar. Mm-hmm. I'm satisfied if you are.
Sold. All right, fellas, here's an envelope with a check for each of you. Salary plus percentage of the net on the last two jobs. Now, look, if you think this is not enough, we're friends, understand? I want you to speak up.
Oh, we're not worried, Skipper. We're just worried about these things of kids. Now, Gunnar. By me, patron saint, this is too much. No, I won't take it.
Yes, you will, Charlie. Because I want you to. And because, well, we three are mateys, aren't we?
But this is too generous a sheer.
I'm not writing any more checks, fellow. That goes. How about you, Sharky?
Well, me, Captain, you're the most generous man in the old blinking world. But, well, I'll take it, so help me. Of course, you want me to.
Swell. Now, if you think this treasure hunt is a good investment, you two can each put in a couple of thousand for a percentage on a pure gamble if we go.
That's the deal, Gunnar.
Well, I'll be with you from A.D.'s to breakfast, Captain.
Well, we'll all have supper together and talk some more about it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on, boy. Charlie, take the envelopes, huh?
Yep. All right, men.
All right.
I see you're all on time, and that's only natural, I'd say, considering the fact that you might be able to use what's in these envelopes. There's Eric Sorensen, Bill Gifford, Slim Erickson, Low Wing, Hal Andrews, Snowy White, Jim Badger, and Ray Green. Open them up, boys, and then the captain wants to say something to you.
All right, man. You have your wages from the day we left Hoboken to our arrival here this morning at Santa Monica. I want to thank you for a fine job and splendid conduct straight through. Now the question, are you satisfied with your bonus checks?
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay. Now another question. I'm thinking of going on a treasure hunt. Of course, you know, that's the dream of every salvage master, to bring up gold from sunken treasure ships. By this time tomorrow, I'll have made up my mind. If you want to go along, I'll give you 3 days' leave at full pay. We'll leave at dawn on the fourth day. What's your answer, man?
A little over a week later, the gallant Blue Falcon was cutting through the blue waters of the Pacific at 16 knots, heading south to the Panama Canal, through which they had made the east-west trip so short a time before. South past the Gulf of Tehuantepec, she sailed past the scenes of her recent triumphs, on to further adventure.
Well, Captain, when we left this coast a couple of weeks ago, we didn't expect to be passing here again so soon, did we?
You know, that's what I like about our work, Charlie. We never know what's ahead of us. That's the way it'll always be. An assignment or an idea, we pick up and go.
Yeah, righto, Captain.
So it is. Hey, will you look at them porpoises diving and swimming in front of our bow, leading us on and spelling good luck for us.
Blimey, what a joyful sight.
Stop at Panama City, then through the canal across the Caribbean. A stop scheduled for San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Huh. There she lies, matey. A right romantic spot, if you ask me. I say, Captain, we got a lot of ocean to cover after we leave San Juan. Couldn't we stop over for a few hours? Not speaking for myself, of course, but the crew'd fancy it.
Well, shall we tell them, Charlie?
Oh, we might as well. Mr. Peters is a good man, what with all.
We're going to tie up here overnight, Sharky.
Oh, Captain Carlo, I could kiss your boots. Now I have but one problem. If I can only find something to conga with.
Then followed the trip through the Straits of Gibraltar, into the Mediterranean, nearing the goal, past Tunis, the island of Sicily. As they cruised near the spot where a great sea battle occurred 121 years ago, the three musketeers were again together in the chart room.
Hey, hadn't we better break out the diving gear and get things ready, Captain?
They're a little previous, Sharky.
Oh.
We have to go on up to the Aegean Sea, make a short trip inland to Athenia. Get clearance to work in Greek waters.
Oh, my heart's busted.
Patience, matey.
Oh, well, Greece, it'll be something to see. Oh, I wonder who runs the restaurants there. That's a joke, matey.
Once in Athens, Captain Carlyle went to the Department of Greece and applied for clearance papers. He was forced to make a most difficult decision. There was a cablegram from Lloyd's of London, with whom he kept in touch constantly, offering him an exceptionally large fee to help pull the liner Empress of China off the beach at Calcutta, India, where she'd gone ashore with 1,100 passengers.
I'm thinking of the crew, Charlie. They'll be disappointed.
Yeah, but you've got your clearance papers. We can come back after the job's done.
Yeah, I know. And the main point is, I'm a fair-haired lad with Lloyd's now. I can't afford to jeopardize that standing.
Oh.
Well, I'll explain matters, and we'll go through the Suez and down to Calcutta.
Three salvage companies worked together, and in due time, the Empress of China was afloat. Her passengers were back aboard to continue their voyage, and Captain Carlyle received his fee as master salvager. But as we shall see, he was not yet through with India. course, the captain couldn't know that one of the strangest adventures of his career was now before him. He hoped to return to Greece immediately. However, well, here's what happened when he and Charlie Bartlett entered the office of a British official named Henry Quinn.
Carlisle, I'm frightfully sorry, but I have bad news for you.
Yeah, now what?
Gentlemen, it will be impossible for you to go back through the Suez Canal.
Impossible? I don't understand.
What's the reason, Mr. Chris?
I just had official word this morning. No clearance papers can be issued to ships going through the canal. There's a cholera epidemic raging in the area.
Cholera?
Well, this is a fine kettle of fish going on.
Yeah, it's hard to take. See, Mr. Cripps, Mr. Bartlett and Mr. Peters and I invested our own money on that venture I told you about.
I'm sorry, old man, really I am. But of course you must have been paid handsomely by Lloyd's for that Empress of China, John.
Yes, of course. We can go back home with a good profit, but naturally it's a disappointment.
Well, now that I've given you the shock, as it were, I have something that might compensate for it, assuming you'll go back to your home port, of course.
That's all that's left for us to do.
But I am able to make you an offer that will, I feel, be a sort of bomb, Captain.
Yeah? Well, let's have it.
And I'll try to cut the thing to mere facts and then see if you're interested. I have a good friend in Hamburg. Name is Fred Minster. He's a business agent for the Hagenbach Circus. He recently cabled me quite a large sum of money to make a deal for him.
Uh-huh.
Now, you know, of course, that black panthers are rare and exceedingly hard to tame.
Oh, yes.
Panthers, is it?
Yes. He wants one for the circus. I told him of one that's been in captivity for a considerable number of years, over in Madras. Captain, if you will buy this black panther with the money I give you, $5,000, cage it, put it aboard your Blue Falcon, deliver it to a Hansa Line ship in San Francisco, he'll pay you $3,000 for your trouble.
Well, that's not bad. But how do I know I can buy it?
Oh, I've made the deal for you. The man's name is Mohan Singh. He's a merchant in Madras.
Did he train the panther?
Well, no. As I understand it, his wife trained him. Now, Captain, to make it more attractive, Minster is willing to pay you $2,000 in addition to the three if you deliver the panther to the Hansa Line in San Francisco on or before June 1st.
Well, Mr. Cripps, the more you talk, the more interesting this gets.
Quiet, quiet.
June 1st. Let's see, the 6th, 7th, 8th. Gunnar, I think we can do it.
Can't get shot for trying, Charlie.
I'll tell you how you can expedite matters. Do either of you speak any Hindu dialect?
No, I can't say that. Say, Captain, Eric Sorensen, he spent years in this country. He knows quite a lot of Hindu stuff.
Why, George, that's right. And there's a man we can trust, too.
I'll vouch for that.
Splendid. Then here's my suggestion. I'll arrange for quick transportation for him across country to Madras. It's on the southeast coast, you know.
Yeah.
You'll have to work fast. He'll be there long before you can make it in the Blue Falcon.
Okay. This is odd work for a deep-sea diver, but I'll go for the deal.
Eric Sorensen readily agreed to act as agent for Captain Carlisle, and an hour later he was on his way overland to Madras, the third largest city in India. Late the same afternoon, the merchant Mohan Singh had received a message from Henry Cripps. He hurried to his home about 2 miles from the main part of the city. His wife Kasna was outside in the yard, having just returned her pet black panther Rama to his cage. Her husband called to her.
Come, Kasna. I wish you to sit with me. I want to talk to you.
I do not wish to sit down.
And why?
Because I know what you are going to say. You have heard from the Englishman in Calcutta again.
You are indeed right.
My answer is the same. I will not allow you to sell Ramar.
So, you dare to defy me once again?
Yes. Ramar, quiet.
Quiet from you.
Quiet now. Quiet. Oh, I hate
you. Listen to me, my wife. Do you know what this means to me?
I will be rich. I can expand my business.
And what would it mean to me? Nothing. And I would lose the only friend I had.
But I will buy you new dresses. All the silks and satins you desire. A string of pearls to place around your beautiful neck.
This is again a lie. Ramar belongs to me. When my father sold me to you to take as a wife, you promised him that I could always keep Ramar, that you would never take him away from me. Did you not?
Your father is dead, and so is any such foolish promise.
You will not take him from me. I swear this.
You fool woman. Perhaps this will change your mind. Huh? Will you change your mind?
You cannot make me.
We shall see. Maybe this whip will change your mind. You belong to me. You will do what I say. Stupid, foolish mama. Now have you had enough?
If you sell Ramar, I will kill you.
On the Blue Falcon, tied up at a dock in Madras, the captain expected to find Eric Sorensen waiting there. But he was not in sight. Worried and sensing trouble, he asked Charlie Barfoot to go ashore and to the American consulate to seek information. A half hour later, the captain is pacing up and down the deck when the cook low wing hurries to his call.
Captain Gorlow! Captain Gorlow!
What is it, low wing?
Oh, Mr. Bartlett, he come.
Where? I don't see him.
Oh, coming through cloud of the natives near Gangplank.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And Sorensen's not with him.
No, not with him. What you think he happened to Mr. Sorensen, Captain?
No idea, Will. Maybe Mr. Bartlett can tell us.
Oh, yeah. He come. Chop.
Well, any news of him, Charlie?
Going on, I've got bad news.
What's happened?
Sorensen's in the hospital.
Oh, no.
What's the rest of it? How is he?
They found him about 2 miles out of town. He'd been slugged over the head and robbed.
I was afraid. Was he badly hurt?
I telephoned the hospital. Said we'd be over right away. It's a concussion, Captain, and it blinded him.
Blind?
Poor Mr. Sorensen.
Let's go to him, Charlie.
Who is it?
It's Carlisle, Eric, and Charlie Bartlett's with me.
I am glad you're here.
Take it easy, Eric. We promised the doctor.
Yeah, sure.
Can't tell you how sorry I am, old fellow.
Me neither, Eric. It's a tough break. But the doc says there's no fracture, and it's... Yeah, but I'm blind.
Easy now.
Captain, you won't leave me here, and you...
Not by any means. You're going home to California with us. I'll see that you get the best specialist in the country. You can bank on that.
Please, don't let my wife and kids know yet.
Whatever you say.
Look, Eric, can you tell us what you remember about what happened? Without getting excited. The police haven't got a clue to work on.
Well, they had the directions that Cripps gave me. Mohan Singh's place was only a couple of miles out of town, so I decided to walk. I had the money in my money belt under my clothes.
You didn't see anyone following you?
No. They umped me as I passed an alley. I didn't realize it was so late. It was getting dark. All I remember was that arm around my neck. The hand had a big ruby ring on the little finger. I noticed that while I struggled. And then they slugged me and, well, I came to the next morning here in the hospital. Of course, the money belt was gone. You banked on me, Captain, and I didn't come true. I'm sorry.
Don't think of that for a minute, Eric. In the first place, the money was insured. We're only thinking of you, Phil. And believe me, you'll be taken care of. Well, I think you've talked enough now.
Yes, we'd better go.
Will you come back this evening?
Sure we will.
Thanks. Goodbye, Captain. Mr. Bartlett.
Let's sit down, Charlie, and think this thing out.
I think there's only one thing to do first, and that's to make a call on this Mohan Singh.
Yeah, you and Sharkey and I will go out there pretty soon. I can't get poor Sorensen out of my mind.
Neither can I. Oh, blast it all. Why did we have to get into this thing?
Come in.
Hey, Captain. There's a native wants to see you.
Yeah?
Oh, lovely. She's a comely trick. She speaks good English, too. I'll bet a cook if she knows something about poor old Eric.
Send her in. Send her in.
Right.
Maybe this is it.
Yeah, really.
Right this way, miss. Here we are.
Mr. Peters, keep at your post by the gangway, huh?
Yeah. Oh, aye, sir.
I'm Captain Carlyle, and this is my mate, Mr. Bartlett.
I must be quickly. There's not much time. I am Kazna Singh, wife of Mohan Singh.
Oh, I see.
The Black Panther belongs to me. My husband is bringing him to you in a steel cage. He's on his way now. Mohan is a beast. He, look, I show you my bag. See?
Good heavens.
Look at those welts on her back.
He did that?
Yes. Then when the man came to put Ramar in the cage, I fought with Mohan. He was going to kill me with his knife. I tried to let Ramar out at him, but I was too late. I had to run from Mohan. Then I went to the home of a friend, and I heard this story about one of your men who was to buy Ramar, and who was beaten and blinded. Sahib, Captain, I am sure that it was my husband and his men who beat and robbed him.
Well,
there's the story, Captain. He's going to try to get you to pay for the Panther twice.
Sounds like it.
Will you please tell me something? If Ramar goes to the circus people, will they be kind to him?
Yes, I'm sure they will. It's a fine organization.
And it's to their own good to treat animals well.
Thank you, Sahib. Now I ask favor of you. Will you let me hide on ship so Mohan won't see me?
All right. Look, you can go into the next cabin, and I think you'd better hurry.
I'll go now.
Well, Skipper?
Charlie, we'll have to get the derrick rigged up right away. Wait a minute. Singh will have some of his men with him when he comes aboard. Now, after the cage is on deck, I'll tell Singh to come into my cabin. Then you, Sharky, and the crew, the rest of them, will get busy. Tell Singh's men they'll have to wait on the wharf. In the meantime, I'll...
A half hour later, Mohan Singh and his men arrived with the Black Panther in the steel cage on an oxen-drawn cart. Charlie Bartlett directed the operations, and the cage was soon aboard. Having roller wheels at its base, it was easily moved about. Finally, to a spot near Captain Carlyle's cabin. And then the bearded brute of a man with a suave manner entered the captain's cabin. Charlie saw that the door was left open, swung all the way back, and waited outside. Captain Carlyle sat on his desk, his feet on a four-legged stool below. He motioned Mohan Singh to a chair.
Thank you, Captain. And now to business, eh?
That's a fine animal. Beautiful animal. I imagine the Hagenbeck people will be glad to get him.
Oh, but yes.
He a pet of yours?
Well, no. He has been a pet of my wife's for a few years, but she tired of him, and she was willing for me to sell him. But to business, Captain.
Wait a minute. I don't quite understand. I invited you to my cabin to pour you a glass of wine, Mr. Singh. The business was concluded by my man, Sorensen.
What do you mean?
Well, he arrived here 2 days ahead of my ship. Surely he paid you for the Panther.
What are you saying? I do not know of a Mr. Sorensen. Are you trying to trick me?
As a matter of fact, yes.
I am here to collect $5,000 in American money.
But you're not going to get it.
I will show you.
Take your hand off that knife. This thing in my hand spits lead, savvy?
I will go out
and... Stay right where you are. All right, Charlie, move the cage in now.
What does this mean?
My men just made us cozy together here in the cabin, the cage against the door, ready to be opened in case the Panther wants to join us.
No.
You don't like that idea, do you?
No.
Because Ramar hates your insides. And if I let him in here, he'll tear you to pieces in 2 minutes.
Let me out of here!
Not until you put your signature to a piece of paper that I have here.
Oh, what do you mean?
You'll sign your name to this written confession, and you'll take off that ruby ring and place it on my desk, or, you dirty, stinking thug, you're gonna die.
No. What is that paper?
What did you say?
It's a confession that you and your men slugged my agent, Sorensen, robbed him of his money belt containing $5,000, and left him in the street to die. Now sign it, you louse.
No, no, it is not true.
All right. You see, I have this stool to protect myself. But I know he won't bother me because I'm not afraid.
No.
There's something that you probably don't know, see? When a person is in mortal fear, certain glands give out with a bad odor that only animals can smell. And it makes them killer. You see, he's caught that odor and it means you're guilty.
Don't
make a move toward me. If you don't sign that paper, you'll die one way or the other. My gun or the panther. That'd be more terrible, wouldn't it? My hands on the cage door.
No, do not. That won't pass.
Then throw your knife on the floor under my desk and sign that paper.
I will sign.
Throw the knife.
Yes, I will sign. There. Now let me out of here. Take me to the police.
That's just where you're gone, stupid. Take it away, Charlie.
Get on it, man.
All right. Stand where you are, Sing. Charlie. Here's the key to my locker. Get me a pair of handcuffs.
Why, Skipper?
I'll sing. They'll put you where you won't have to worry about panthers for a long time.
Oh. Panzer. You here.
So you would try to kill me, would you? Now you are going to prison. I shall watch them take you while I say goodbye to Rama. Captain Carlyle, stand back.
What the?
Now, Rama. There he is.
Madam Singh, call him off.
Get him in the name of heaven.
Rama! Go to your cage. He's gone. Go!
Charlie, send one of the crew for the police. It's too late for a doctor.
Yes, indeed it is. Andrews!
Aye, sir.
Go ashore and bring the police.
Right away, sir.
Charlie, look, Madam Singh.
She's lying on the deck. She's fainted. Come on.
Yeah.
Madam Singh.
Madam Singh, are you all right?
I had to kill him, Saeed. I took a life. So I will have to die too. Turn me over to the police. And please, be kind to Rama.
That was a tragic story, but a true one in Captain Gunnar Carlyle's life. The Blue Falcon returned home across the Pacific, first to San Francisco, where the Panther was delivered one day before June 1st, then to Santa Monica, the home port, where Eric Sorensen was hospitalized and attended by a famous surgeon. His eyesight was restored, and he soon rejoined the crew of the Blue Falcon. Another in the series Out of the Deep, based on the true life adventures of Captain Gunnar Carlyle. These stories are dramatized for radio by Ted Maxwell, who also portrays the role of Captain Carlyle. Other featured players were Charles Seal, Charlie Lung, Peggy Weber, and Russ Thorson. Music was composed and played by Joseph Enos. Production and direction by Homer Canfield. Your narrator, Don Stanley. Be with us next week for another adventure in Out of the Deep. This program came to you from Hollywood. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.